A pleasant evening to you in YouTube land. We're delighted you tuned in tonight. We're thankful that we have this medium through which we can study the Word of God. We're mindful that many cannot be out due to sickness, and we're mindful of those who are grieving the loss of loved one. You all are in our thoughts and in our prayers. If you take your New Testament tonight, turn with me to the book of Luke and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 6th chapter, I want to read verse 48 from the teaching of Jesus Christ. And notice what Jesus said. He said, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." If you have your Bible tonight, may I suggest you underscore "founded on the rock." Now then, I want us to understand that Jesus is making a great teaching that foundations are important. That you build upon the foundation. And if the foundation's not strong, then I'll tell you the whole house will collapse. And Jesus said this man dug deep, he got down to the rock, and that's where he built. And he said it was a strong foundation. And when the storm came, and the beat vehemently against the house, and the stream came, he said, notice, it did not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But I want you to think about a statement made in the Old Testament for just a moment. Go with me to the 11th Psalm, and notice what David said in verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, David at this time talks about the foundations, and underscore that. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But then take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians and the 3rd chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice, if you will, what the Apostle Paul had to say in verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now then, I want us to stop for just a moment and think of those statements. First of all, let's think about what David said. It's interesting to read what David had to say about the foundations being destroyed. What then will the righteous do? And the foundations he's speaking about that would be destroyed would be the political and moral foundations. This was not the foundation that the righteous were built upon. Because if you go back to the 11th Psalm and look in verse 1, notice what David said. In the Lord I put my trust. David said, that's where I'll build my faith. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is concluding the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the wise man who built upon the rock. Why was he wise? He built upon a solid foundation, but the foolish man built upon the sand and his house collapsed. Now then, when you look at what the Apostle Paul wrote, Paul talks about that men say that there's another foundation. And Paul said, there is no other foundation. That Christ is the foundation upon which we build. And that leads us to consider, first, some will try to destroy the solid foundation, and others tried to build upon another foundation. But upon that foundation, there's no solidity, and the house will collapse. I want to think about what will happen if society is destroyed. What if the foundations are destroyed? Stop and think about the people that put forth effort one way or another to destroy the foundations of our society. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing some of the things I hear and see today. I'm sick and tired of professors brainwashing our young people into disbelieving in the Bible and disbelieving in God and taking them away from the Word of God. I'm sick and tired of the indoctrination in schools where they teach everything that is immoral and take out that which is moral. But then I'm also sick and tired of some people using religion to fight every political battle that comes up. And you know, sometimes, my friend, sometimes we need to remember that we are the kingdom of God. And many times we get involved in things we need to be careful as a local church we not get involved in. But I'm also sick and tired of people calling sin a disease. Oh, I would that we could get back to someone just saying, you know, I have sinned. They see themselves and they said, I have fallen short. I have transgressed. They see themselves as they need to be seen. instead of justifying their wrong and saying, well, it's a sickness, we just call it what it is. But I'm also tired of hearing the voices of this day telling our young people about safe sex instead of what God had to say about saving yourself till marriage. And I'm tired of all the so-called experts we have that supposedly know all the answers to every issue, but they never look into the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of a lot of those things. I'm frustrated. But I'll tell you something, my friend, that comes to the question, where will we build? And you know what I want to talk about tonight? I want to talk about on this rock I stand. I want to talk about where I stand. It is true that I'm sick and tired of some of the things I hear and see, but there are some things upon which I can take a stand. First of all, I can take a stand upon the Bible, the Word of God. Oh, I believe this book is the Word of God. I believe it to be God's infallible Word. Take your Bible and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. In verse 9 beginning, he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Sometimes people read that and think it's talking about heaven, but he's not talking about heaven in that verse. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Take your Bible and look in the Ephesian letter and the third chapter. And when I come to the Ephesian letter and the third chapter, I can look beginning at verse 1. And notice what Paul said. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already. What's Paul talking about there? Paul's talking about the revelation of God. It's been revealed to us. You know, my friend, God has revealed his word, and it's been written down. It's not needful for me to prove by miracles that it is the word, because it's already been proven and confirmed. Take your Bible and look in Hebrews chapter 2. When you come to Hebrews chapter 2, look at what the Hebrew writer said, beginning at verse 3. When he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, in the New Testament days, before the word had been written down, they were able to perform miracles to prove what they were teaching is true. But I want to tell you, I don't perform miracles because I have the word written and it's already been confirmed. It's been proven. And it's on this book, on this rock, I stand. Oh, I believe this book to be the Bible, the Word of God. I believe it to be infallible. I believe it to be God-breathed. I believe it to be where I need to take my stand in life. Secondly, on the rock I stand on the rock that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is what you remember Peter said in Matthew 16, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, and Jesus said, oh, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. What rock? This truth. That's a solid foundation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe Jesus was sent by the Father, and he came to die for my sins. In John 3:16, you'll remember that it said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this, of course, means that I would believe he was born of the Virgin. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead. Take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, you get a picture of what the gospel is. When Paul said in verse 1, He said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, for the good news which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. Where are they standing? On the rock. What's the rock? Look at what he says in verse 2 and 3. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. On this rock I stand. The Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins, but he didn't stay in the grave. By the power of God, he was resurrected, and I believe that by his blood I'm redeemed and forgiven of my sins. In Ephesians 1:7, it said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. But I'll tell you a third thing. I believe he built his church. We just mentioned that ago in Matthew 16. After Peter made the great confession, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now what is the church? The church is blood-bought people. It's people who've been redeemed by Christ. They've been on Christ in baptism. They've been raised to walk in newness of life. And in Acts 20:28, we see they've been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. I believe I've been added to his church, as they were in Acts 2:47, when God added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, I believe Jesus built his church. Now, I'll tell you what, my friend, that is a solid foundation. And I'll tell you one thing. I need to remember it's his church. It's not mine. I didn't die for it. I didn't pay for it. It's not yours. You didn't die for it or pay for it. Jesus died and paid for your soul. But I'll tell you something else. I stand on the rock that he'll never forsake me. In the Matthew letter, in the 28th chapter in Matthew, the gospel, you remember in verse 20, Jesus said, lo, I with you, I will always be. He said, lo, I will with you even to the end of the age. Jesus said, I will always be with you. Take your Bible for just a moment and turn with me to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, look, if you will, at what is said in about verse 35. And it's a beautiful statement that is written by the Apostle Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's always there. Isn't that beautiful? That's where I stand. I stand that if I fall short and I confess my sin, my God is willing to forgive me. 1 John 1:9. But I'll tell you something else. I believe there's a hell. Now, that may sound outdated and antiquated. Some ways you almost feel like some people today won't even preach on hell. But I'll tell you, it's in the Bible. And it's not popular in our day to believe, but I want to tell you, that's where I stand. Because in Matthew 25:41, he tells them to depart into everlasting fire. Jesus said that. And I'll tell you, my friend, we need to recall Jesus speaks the truth. Sometimes I'm fearful we live in a day and age where people don't fear hell. And people don't love God. And people don't believe in God. But I'll tell you where I take my stand. I believe exactly what the Bible says. But finally, I believe there is a heaven. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter in the 21st chapter. And if ever there was a picture that would touch your heart and make tears just fall out of your eyes for joy, it would be Revelation 21:4. Where you remember that John is writing, and what does he say? And God, in verse 4, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God's faithful to his word. That's what he talks about heaven. Well, that's where I take my stand. What a beautiful place, the city of God. And I believe we can live there, not just float around, but be around the throne of God for all eternity. And it's on this rock I take my stand. There's no other foundation upon which I can build. If I build my life upon the principles of this world, my house will fall. If I build upon culture, it will fall. If I build upon the teaching of man, it will fall. I'll tell you, my friend, every house will fall except the house that is built upon Jesus Christ. When I talk about house, I'm talking about life of man. If your life's not built upon Christ, then, my friend, you stand in the wrong place. You stand on sand. And you stand on an unsteady ground. And you don't have sure footing. But I'll tell you, if you build upon the rock, you build where you can take a stand and have sure foundation. Let's pray. Almighty God, we're so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful for your goodness and your mercy. We're so thankful that we can build upon the rock. We're so thankful, Father, that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. We're so thankful, Father, for his life. We're so thankful for his sacrifice and his resurrection, that one day too we shall be raised. We pray, Father, that we've already been raised in baptism, but if there's any who have not, we pray they'll do so before it's everlastingly too late. Help us always to love you and put our faith in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.